Our Old Testament reading today is from the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verses 9 and 10, and 13 and 14. As I looked, thrones were placed, and one that was the Ancient of Days took his seat. His raiment was white as snow, and the hair on his head was like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came forth from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed. And our New Testament reading is from the book of John, chapter 18, verses 33 to 37. Pilate entered the praetorium again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingship were of this world, my servants would fight, and I might not be handed over to the Jews. But my kingship is not from the world." Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
Every first Sunday, we recite together the Apostles' Creed, which gives an outline of what we as Christians believe. The Apostles' Creed is one of the confessions in our Presbyterian Book of Confessions. Again, outlines of what we as Christians believe. But the earliest confession of the Jesus movement was a simple one, a relatively short one. And simply stated, it said that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. That's what the early followers of Jesus went about saying. They went about a world that was filled with all kinds of rulers and kings, and they went around saying that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. The early followers of Jesus were often persecuted. But it's important to understand that they were not persecuted because they were espousing another religion. The ancient world was filled with religions, and many people believed in many kinds of religion. But the early followers of Jesus were not persecuted because of that. They were persecuted because they said that out of all the rulers and leaders in the world, including the Roman emperor, that Jesus is Lord. This Jewish peasant that was hung on a cross as a common criminal is indeed the Lord of the whole world. Today is the last Sunday in the Christian year. And in this Sunday, the church has set aside as Christ the King Sunday. This is the Sunday that the church has set aside to reflect on the fact that Jesus Christ is indeed the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Christ the King Sunday was actually started in the 1920s between the world wars during the ascendancy of a number of dictators under the banner of communism and fascism. Pope Pius XI instituted Christ the King Sunday as a way of reminding Christians and a way of reminding the world that in the midst of everything that is going on, in the midst of the rise of dictators, that there is one Lord, there is one King, there is one ruler, and Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord of lords. He is King of kings. And when we in the church assert that, we are not simply engaging in religious speak, but we are making a bold claim as to who has real authority and power and dominion in our world. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He is the Lord not just of the church, he is the Lord not just in heaven, but he is the Lord over the whole world. And one day, as the Apostle Paul says, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is King. But what a strange Lord Jesus is. What a strange King he is. A king unlike any other king. Our passage this morning from the Gospel of John is one that we often read during Holy Week. It's one that we often read during Good Friday. It is part of the trial scene between Jesus and Pontius Pilate prior to Jesus' crucifixion. By the time we make it to this part in the story, all of the crowds that have been following Jesus have now abandoned him. They had followed him because they believed that he was the king who was going to restore the kingdom to Israel. But Jesus failed to meet their expectations, and so they have abandoned him. And now Jesus is in Jerusalem, and he has been arrested by the Jewish leaders as a dangerous subversive and taken before Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. Pilate, of course, is a shrewd and ruthless leader. He understands power. He understands politics. He understands the way the real world works. Pilate doesn't care about any of the other charges that have been leveled against Jesus. He only wants to know one thing. Are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews? Are you another one of those religious fanatics who believe that God is calling you to violently overthrow the Roman authority and establish the kingdom of God? That's what Pilate wants to know. Are you a king? In many ways, first century Palestine was a lot like our own world. It was filled with young firebrands, young men who believed that if they only stood up and fought the Roman authority, that God would empower them and help them to overthrow the Roman Empire in Palestine. And so Pilate wants to know if Jesus believes that he is a king, a leader, someone who will violently overthrow the Roman Imperium and establish the kingdom of God. Jesus doesn't answer Pilate directly. Instead, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my followers would fight for me. They would fight to prevent me being taken by the Judeans. But my kingdom is not from the world." Now, I've been reading this passage for years and years. In fact, it's one of my favorite passages in the Bible. This interaction between Jesus and Pilate representing the kingdoms of the world and the kingdoms of God. And I always believed that when Jesus said that his kingdom was not of this world, that he meant that his kingdom was up there somewhere, that his kingdom was a spiritual kingdom, a kingdom up in heaven, a kingdom that we all will go to when we die. But that's not what Jesus means this morning. When Jesus says that his kingdom is not of the world, he's not talking about a spiritual kingdom somewhere up in heaven. What he means is that his kingdom is not like the kingdoms of the world. It is not a kingdom of violence. It is not a kingdom that seeks to dominate and control others. It is not a kingdom that is centered around the most powerful people. It is a kingdom that is very much in the world and for the world, but it is not of the world. In the ancient world, the mark of a king was that he had armies to do his bidding, that he had power and he moved Kingdoms moved by way of power and violence and force. Those are still marks of the lords and rulers of our world today. I was listening a few days ago to a report about Time magazine naming the Russian leader, President Vladimir Putin, as the world's most powerful person. In part, he was named that because he didn't have to worry about a legislative body restraining his power. But he was also named that because of his willingness to use force to achieve his objectives, as he did in Ukraine and in Syria. That's the way our world understands leadership. That's the way the world understands what it means to rule. But Jesus rejects those marks of power and authority and offers us a whole new understanding of what it means to be a king, of what it means to be Lord, of what it means to be a leader. All through the gospel narratives, Jesus has been trying to show us something crucial about the nature of God and about the nature and the character of the kingdom of God. In the world, Jesus says, the rulers and great ones like to lord it over others. But not so with you. In the kingdom of God, to be great is to be the servant of all the rest. The Son of Man, says Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. The kings and kingdoms of the world like to advance by way of violence and force. But Jesus reminds us that that's not the way of the kingdom. The kingdom of God advances by testifying and bearing witness to the truth. And the truth, as John reminds us earlier in his gospel, is that God loves the world. God so loved the world that God gave his only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. God loves the world so much that God would rather subject God's self to our violence than to use violence in God's name. Jesus says, "My kingdom is not like the world's kingdom. But my kingdom is not of this world." It is fitting this morning that we should read a passage on this Christ the King Sunday that we also read during Good Friday. Because we are reminded that if we are to understand the kingship of Jesus, and if we are to understand the kingdom of God, that we have to keep kingdom and cross together. It's always important that we keep kingdom and cross together. God's kingdom advances not by way of violence, whether it's the violence of religious fanatics in our world or whether it's our own violence, our own dropping of bombs. But the kingdom of God, God's justice, God's mercy, God's righteousness advances by way of the cross. It is on the cross that Jesus is enthroned as King. It is on the cross that Jesus enters into his glory. And so the kingdom of God in the New Testament, we're reminded again and again in the Gospels, advances by way of the cross. That's what Jesus says from the very beginning when the Holy Spirit blows him into the wilderness where he is tempted by the Satan. And the Satan wants Jesus to be the king in Satan's way. Jesus reminds Satan, and he reminds all of us, that the way of kingship is by walking the way of the cross. And so the kingdom advances by the cross. And the cross is what defines the kingdom. The cross is not only an emblem of suffering and shame, as the old hymn says, but it's also indicative of God's self-giving love on behalf of the world. God's self-giving love on behalf of others. And so the cross is, the kingdom is defined by the cross. We have to keep kingdom and cross together. Because that's what Jesus means when he says that my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from God. And therefore, my kingdom is about the expression of God's love for a broken world. A love so strong that God, again, would rather suffer our violence than to allow violence to be used in his name for whatever purpose. But what does that have to do with us? What does all of that have to do with us this morning on this Christ the King Sunday? Well, first of all, it reminds us that if we are his followers, then we owe him our absolute allegiance. He should take priority over everything else in our lives. We have a tendency sometimes to compartmentalize our lives and act as if Jesus is only the Lord of our hearts, or the Lord of our private time, or the Lord of our lives on Sunday mornings, or the Lord of our prayer life. But we're reminded that Jesus is Lord over all of our lives. He's Lord over our work life. He's Lord over what we do on Saturday night. He's Lord over our decisions. He's Lord over every aspect of our lives. Jesus is Lord, and we owe him our allegiance. There is no separation between things religious and things in the world. Jesus is Lord over everything. He's Lord over every aspect of our lives. That makes us uncomfortable sometimes because we would rather compartmentalize Jesus away. We would rather compartmentalize Jesus so that we can do the things that we want to do, so that we can live our lives the way that we want to live our lives. But we're reminded that we owe Jesus our absolute allegiance, that he is Lord over every aspect of our lives. We're also reminded that, like Jesus, we are called to bear witness and to testify to the truth of God's love for each and every one of us and for the whole world. We are called to testify to that truth and bear witness to that truth in everything that we do, in our own acts of kindness, our own acts of compassion, our own acts of self-giving love for the sake of the world. And last but certainly not least, like Jesus, we are called to be in the world and for the world, but not of the world. We are called to live by a whole different set of values, kingdom values. Now, we need to be careful here because there's a lot of talk about kingdom values, about Christian values, family values, and I'm all for that. I'm a values kind of person. I'm a Christian values kind of person. But oftentimes when we talk about values, we construe them far too narrowly. We act as if Christian values has only to do with our individual lives, what we do in our individual lives and how we relate to one another in our families. But the kind of values that Jesus comes to show us, the kind of kingdom values that Jesus comes to show us, is something that we rarely stop to entertain, because Jesus is calling us to examine our commitment to the world. He's asking us to examine our commitments. What do we really believe in? Who do we really believe is Lord? Do we believe in violence? Do we believe that that is Lord? Do we believe in money? Do we believe that that is Lord? What do we give our allegiance to? That's what Jesus is reminding us here this morning. That's what John is reminding us here in this passage. What do we give our allegiance to? What do we really believe? One of the struggles that I've been having over the last several years, and still struggling with it even today, is the issue of violence. How do we Christians live out our lives in a world that is filled with violence? What does it mean to be the light of the world? What does it mean to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? What does it mean to give him our absolute allegiance in a world that is filled with violence? Oftentimes, people willing to do violence in the name of God. Jesus says that if my kingdom was of the world, my followers would be fighting for me. My followers would be employed in violence. But my kingdom is not of this world, and so they don't do that. My followers advance by way of the cross, by way of self-giving love. And yet we live in a world that is filled with violence. And we know that if we're honest, our hearts too are filled with violence. We believe in it. We believe in violence. We believe that violence is what really brings salvation. We believe that violence can save us. We believe that God sanctifies violence. But if Jesus is the Lord of the world, if Jesus is the true King of the world, and if the way of Jesus is the way of the cross, the way of self-giving love, and if the promise of Jesus is the promise of resurrection, then what does that say about our commitment to violence and our belief in violence? What does that mean about how we live our lives as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? I confess this morning that I'm not sure. I still believe in violence deep down inside of my heart. I believe in that. I believe that the way you respond to violence is through violence, greater violence. I believe that the way that you respond to those who would use violence in the name of God is to employ violence on your own. I believe in that. I confess that this morning. But I'm not sure that that's the way that Jesus would have those who follow him go. We'll talk more about violence as we enter into the new Christian year. But this morning, I just want to close by reminding us that in our passage this morning, it is not Jesus who is on trial. In our passage this morning, it is actually the world who is on trial. It is Pilate who is on trial. It is all of those followers who abandoned Jesus because he didn't meet their expectations who are on trial. And it's all of us who are also on trial. What do we really believe about the world? Who do we really believe is the king and the ruler and the authority in our world? Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And if we believe in Jesus, then we too are not of the world. If we follow Jesus, then we are called to follow his way. The way of love, the way of peace, the way of justice, the way of self-giving, the way that leads to glory. We are called to be God's renewed people. People of the cross, but also people of resurrection. Because we know who's the real authority behind this world. It is not our president. It is not Vladimir Putin. It is not those who would use violence in the Middle East. It is not money. It is not power as we understand it, but it is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is Lord. He is Lord of lords and King of kings. all power and authority and dominion have been given to him. And he will reign forever and ever. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, you have reminded us that you are indeed Lord. We confess that we're not quite sure what that means. And sometimes we're not even sure we want to know what it means. We prefer that if you would just simply be the Lord of our consciences, or the Lord of our hearts, or the Lord of our private time, or our Sunday morning Lord, who makes no demands on the rest of our lives. We prefer that you be the Lord who doesn't call into question our commitments to war and violence and strife, to the allegiances that we give ourselves to. But you have reminded us that you are indeed the Lord of all of our lives, that you have all authority and dominion, and that one day, whether the world realizes it or not, or wants to or not, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that the way of Jesus, the way of self-giving love, the way of the cross, is indeed the way of God. We ask that you help us, Lord. Help us to follow that way and to live into that way. Help us to give our allegiance to the one who came to die for all of us, so that this world, with all of its violence and strife and conflict, might be redeemed. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.